Right, let's pray together. Father God, we praise you this morning. That while we cannot gather together this Easter morning, we have a bond that is greater than physical nearness. A bond that cannot be shaken by storms of struggle or persecution, not even by death. God, we praise you because we have been united with you and with one another by the blood of Jesus Christ. That through the sinless life, the sacrificial death, and the triumphant resurrection, we are now citizens of your eternal kingdom, filled with your Holy Spirit and called to a purpose that has eternal significance, proclaiming the glory of our God and salvation as we pour our lives out for one another through the resurrection power that is ours through Jesus Christ. Now, as always, God, let us find our hope in you and in you alone, as we ask that you would draw near to your church this morning, as we worship as families in our homes. God, that we would experience the power of your presence. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, Christ Church Kingwood. It is Resurrection Sunday. And if you have asked me a month ago what I thought Easter Sunday would look like at Christ Church, this would not have been what I would have imagined. Preaching to a handful of socially distanced people and a video camera inside of my house. But by the sovereign wisdom and plan of God, here we are. And we're here for a purpose. God was not caught off guard by all of this the way we may have been. God was not surprised. He is working all things, including this, together for good for those called according to his purposes. That is his promise to us. And we've seen throughout the book of Mark that storms always have a purpose. Even if we can't see that purpose in the middle of the storm, they always point us to trust in God. They show us how small we really are, and yet make clear that the God of all creation knows us and loves us and is calling us once again to turn and trust in him. And as we'll see in our text this morning, this current struggle with COVID-19, like all struggles, is a testing ground of our faith. This is what we've been preparing for years. This is what we've been equipping you for since the day we began this church. When we say that you are the church, that it's not about Sunday morning, that you are the primary disciple maker in your home, those are not shallow talking points. They are the foundation of a healthy church. They are preparation for times like this when we cannot gather, when we as parents must shepherd and teach and disciple our children at home without Sunday worship or schools or co-ops or gathering with our small groups. And it's hard. We are all learning as we go. But God has given us a tremendous opportunity to live out what we proclaim in a profound way. As the entire world is shaken, as uncertainty grips humanity, as the fear of death permeates people's minds, it is the church that must rise up in the midst of the chaos and proclaim a hope that is immovable and eternal. And I pray that we do not take lightly the opportunity that we have in the midst of this pandemic. And I'm confident that when this is all over, when we gather together once again as a community in my backyard for an epic feast and celebration, we will be celebrating all that God has done in us and through us in this community. This struggle will end. We will gather again. But until that day comes, let us draw near to God, rejoicing in him, walking in obedience to his call on our lives, and heralding the salvation and life that has been offered to us in Jesus Christ alone. And so this Easter morning, I just want to encourage you all from 1 Peter chapter 1. It's a fitting text because in this letter, Peter is writing to Gentile believers who are spread across Asia Minor who were suffering and experiencing persecution. Things were bad. Things were hard for these believers, and there was no perceivable end in sight. But there is hope and there is power through the resurrection of Jesus Christ for them and for us. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And listen to what Peter says to these believers about the resurrection. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." What a powerful text. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the mercy of God, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Just let that soak in. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the mercy of God, we have new life. We have a living hope. But what is this living hope? What does the Bible mean when we read the word hope at all? Because the New Testament idea of hope is very different from how we typically talk about hope. So, if you told me that the Texans were up by 4 touchdowns on the Patriots, I'd say I hope they win. But I wouldn't have a lot of confidence in the fact that they might win. We've seen it too many times. The Patriots always come back. And Bill O'Brien always makes bad decisions. Or I could say that I hope we're able to gather together as a community at the end of this month. But once again, that seems pretty unlikely. Hope, as we typically think about it, is a desire for some future thing which we're uncertain of obtaining. But that's not the way that Peter or the rest of the New Testament thinks about hope. In 1 Peter 1:13, Peter says, "Hope fully in the grace that is coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." He doesn't say, "Desire it and be uncertain of it." The coming of Christ is a matter of complete confidence for the writers of the New Testament. So when we're told to hope fully, it means that we are to be intensely desirous and fully confident that Jesus Christ is coming again with grace for His people. That all the promises of God are ours. We are to hope in that. And we have an unwavering hope in Christ that He will return. That we have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. But Peter doesn't just say that we have hope. He calls it a living hope. So what is a living hope? And I think the simple answer is a living hope would be the opposite of a dead hope. which really calls to mind the phrase that we read in James chapter 2 when it talks about dead faith. James says, faith without works is dead. That is, if your faith is barren, fruitless, and unproductive, it's no faith at all. It's dead faith. Faithful actions are always the fruit of true faith. And in the same way, living hope is fertile and fruitful and productive hope. Living hope is a hope that has power and produces change in life, in our lives. It's a hope that stares at the face of the fear of death and says, death no longer has victory. Death no longer has the final say. Our lives are bound up in the sovereign, loving hands of God. Living hope is a strong confidence in the promises of God which move us to action. Because hope that doesn't move us to actions of hopefulness, hope that doesn't turn our hearts toward trust in God in the midst of a storm is no hope at all. It's dead hope. And if our hope is dead, then storms will inevitably lead to despair. Because despair is the opposite of hope. But we have been given a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing in all of creation, no heights nor depths, no powers or authorities, no coronavirus or pandemic, not even death itself can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We have a living hope in Jesus Christ. As we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, Jesus took on flesh and blood that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. We have been set free from slavery to the fear of death. And if we don't fear death, if we have a living hope even in the face of death, what tremendous impact can we have in the midst of storms like this on the people around us? What hope can we bring to those who are all around us when they see us boldly standing on the living hope we have in the salvation that is ours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That is what it means to be a city on a hill. That's what it means to shine the light of Jesus in the midst of a storm. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the mercy of God, we have been born again to a living hope. A hope that changes the way we see the world. A hope that changes the way we see the struggles in our life. And it changes the way we view the fear of death. In this you rejoice, Peter says in verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In this you rejoice. In the living hope that is ours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the imperishable, undefiled, and unfading inheritance that we've been promised in the presence of Christ, we rejoice. Though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Yeah, we have. Sounds like where we're at right now. We've been grieved. There are trials. There is a global struggle going on right now. The church around the world is grieved by trials. And the reality is, these trials may only get worse in the coming weeks. We don't know. And Peter says, This is the testing ground of our faith. This is where the rubber meets the road. He says, you may be grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I pray that we see this in the midst of our current struggle. That in the midst of struggle and sickness and death around the world, that God is calling people deeper into Himself. Because it's easy to be faithful when everything's good, when everything's going well. It's easy to be faithful when we have everything we need and everything we want. When there's no shortage of food, no shortage of entertainment, and freedom to come and go as you please. But when the carpet gets pulled out from under us, no professional sports, no schools, no sitting down at a restaurant, financial markets crashing, job insecurity, fear of death all around, we're exposed. We're laid bare. Do we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Or are we circling the wagons and stockpiling toilet paper? Because we can either do that, or we can draw near to the God who proclaimed in Ephesians 1 that the same power by which He raised Christ Jesus from the dead is at work in those who believe. Because if resurrection power is at work in us, we don't need to circle the wagons and stockpile junk for ourselves. We will be loving and serving and pouring ourselves out for the gospel and for others, especially in the midst of the chaos of a storm. This is the testing ground of the genuineness of our faith, Peter says. Take away the money. Take away the sports. Take away the food. Take away the hope in financial markets. Is Jesus Christ enough? That's the question. Is Jesus Christ enough? Is He your treasure above all of the securities and comforts and hopes that we have on this earth? And if He is, if we have this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it will result in praise and glory and honor. It will result in a deep longing for the return of our Savior, when our eternal hope will be realized fully. Verse 8 and 9 say, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The world may have changed over the past weeks, but God has not. And our hope in the gospel has not. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And my prayer is that we would keep our eyes fixed on the glory of God in our midst. That we would rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, knowing that our salvation is secure in Christ. Because when this is said and done, when we come out of this struggle, out of this testing, the visible church in America is probably going to be smaller. That is, the number of people who show up on a Sunday morning around this nation will be less than before. But the true church, those who have hearts that have truly been transformed by the gospel, those who hope in Christ for salvation will be stronger than ever. There is a winnowing taking place, a testing, and when life gets hard, some are going to fall away. False hopes and false faith is going to be exposed. The health and wealth doctrine is being exposed for the false teaching that it is. History has proved this time and again. In suffering and persecution, the visible church gets smaller in numbers, but at the same time, the true church grows stronger in faith and power through Jesus Christ. And it is out of struggle and persecution that the seeds of revival are planted. And that's my prayer. That we would see a great awakening of the people of God throughout the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. That the true church would shine so brightly with the love of Jesus Christ that the world would see us and long to know the God that we serve. That they would see our love and give glory to the Father. So don't take for granted the opportunity that we have to proclaim the glory of our God. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's pray. God, we pray that your Spirit would move in power this morning in homes around the world, that you would stir the hearts of families, that we would experience the living hope that is ours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God, we pray that you would strengthen your church in the midst of these trials, that we would see life spring forth out of death, that we would see a great awakening in our world, and that you would grant us boldness and power to walk in obedience to your call on our lives as your people. Let us find our hope in you, clinging to your promises and finding comfort in your presence, resulting in praise and glory and honor. Amen.